going to read from the Bible reading as it is, with translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We're reading from the third chapter entitled Karma Yoga, text number 30, which happens to be one of my favorite verses. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvara. Mayi, unto me sarvani, all sorts of karmani, activities, sanyasya, giving up completely, adhyatma, with full knowledge of the self, chetasa, by consciousness, nirashihi, without desire for profit, nirmamaha, without ownership, bhutva, so being, yudyasva, fight, vigata jvaraha, without being lethargic. Translation. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims for proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Responsively, everyone please repeat. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Sounds like New York, huh? Purport. This verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties as if in military discipline. The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties as if in military discipline. Such an injunction may make things a little difficult. Nevertheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna, because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. The living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord, because the eternal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. Arjuna was therefore ordered by Sri Krishna to fight as if the Lord were his military commander. One has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of the Supreme Lord and at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord. He had only to execute his order. Reminds me of the army. Ours is not to reason why, ours is but to do and die. You ever heard that? Yeah. The Supreme Lord is the soul of all souls. Therefore, one who depends solely a different kind of soul here. The Supreme Lord is the soul, S-O-U-L, of all souls, S-O-U-L-S. Therefore, one who depends solely, S-O-L-E-L-Y, and wholly on the Supreme Soul, without personal consideration, or in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious, is called adhyatma chetas, Nirashihi means that one has to act on the order of the master, but should not expect fruitive results. The cashier may count millions of dollars for his employer, but he does not claim a cent for himself. Similarly, one has to realize that nothing in the world belongs to any individual person, but that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. That is the real purport of Mayi, or unto me. And when one acts in such Krishna consciousness, certainly he does not claim proprietorship over anything. This consciousness is called Nirmama, or nothing is mine. Mama, meaning mine. And Nirmama, nothing is mine. And if there is any reluctance to execute such a stern order, which is without consideration of so-called kinsmen in the bodily relationship, that reluctance should be thrown off. Reminds me, today we passed by one building, something about Stern, the Stern building or something. Some radio announcer here named Stern, Howard Stern. Okay, this, you got to execute the Stern order here. That is a different kind of Stern. Without consideration of so-called kinsmen in the bodily relationship, that reluctance should be thrown off. In this way, one may become vigata jvara, or without feverish mentality or lethargy. Everyone, according to his quality and position, has a particular type of work to discharge, and all such duties may be discharged in Krishna consciousness, as described above. That will lead one to the path of liberation. So, of course, this theme is reiterated or spoken again and again throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Mayi sarvani karmani, surrendering all works to me. And Krishna says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita also that we should surrender to him completely. Even our concept of religion should be rejected, and we should, the highest religion is simply to surrender to the Supreme Lord. So, this is something that it takes quite a good commitment to do and to realize. Get an order from Krishna. Basically, we don't know what is to be done. That is our condition. We are anda tamishra. We're in the darkest condition. We're in the bodily conception of life. And it's been that way since the beginning of our sojourn in the material world, since the beginning of our yatra, our travel, our journey. We've been passing from one body to another, experiencing various kinds of sense enjoyment according to what facility the particular body that we inhabit gives. And then we go on to something else. We don't find satisfaction anywhere along the way. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, sometimes we're a demigod, sometimes we are a worm in stool. Yes, you. Imagine being a worm in stool. Completely covered consciousness. Most abominable condition. Of course, a worm in stool has been conditioned to enjoy that position, but it's so far away from the actual standard of ananda, or ever-increasing blissful condition, which is our constitutional position in relationship to the Supreme, Ananda Maya Vyasa. Ananda Maya, Krishna is Ananda Maya. He's always enjoying. And we're meant to experience that also. So we're wandering throughout the material world, and it never occurs to us that we should surrender our work to Krishna, that we should surrender to the Supreme. We have no experience of that. But this is the key. We receive an order, we execute the order, and then we realize. And we really have nothing to lose in this. For those who are intelligent, they have exhausted all other avenues, either directly or by hearing. It's more intelligent if you can understand something by hearing. In other words, you hear that fire is hot, the fire will burn you, so you don't touch it. But if you don't have that realization, and you don't have that intelligence, then you have to, you know, stick your hand in the fire and get burned, and you know, get some kind of scar all over your hand, and merge your fingers together, whatever. Then, oh, fire is hot. You'll never touch fire again. But if you just learn by hearing, and similarly, if we can learn by hearing, and that's the whole point of our sitting together today and discussing a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, because unfortunately we're very dull. I'm the supreme dull. It's taken me a long time. Krishna has to really smash me, sink through. But if we can hear from Krishna and then accept it and go out and accept his order, Mayi Sarvani Karma, we can have that intelligence and that faith, then we'll realize very quickly that that is the path of Sreyas, that is the auspicious path by which we can become peaceful and happy. He says, here's the qualification. With full knowledge of me. So, full knowledge means you can never know Krishna fully. So full knowledge of me means that to our capacity, our intelligence should be absorbed in understanding Krishna. Now it may be directly in understanding Krishna, his forms, his attributes, his pastimes. That's a wonderful way to understand Krishna. Very delightful way. But we also have various other things to do while we're incorporated. Incorporeal. While we're in the body, we have to maintain the body, and it's there in the Manusmriti, the Manusamhita, it's there in the Bhagavatam. You have to maintain the body, because the human body is the tree from which you get the fruit of love of Godhead. So if you don't have the tree, you don't get the fruit. So you have to maintain the body, not overly, but appropriately, without too much extraneous endeavor, so that you get entangled, so that when someone approaches you to come to the Wednesday program or the Sunday program or take part in the book marathon, your answer is, I have no time. No, that's over here. That's over here. You must have time. We all have the same amount of time, right? 24 hours. So you have to make your spiritual life a priority. But we have to maintain the body. We have to drink water. So full knowledge of me means
to the capacity that we can, you know, just like the example of an electric light bulb. If an electric light bulb is a 60-watt bulb is giving off 60 watts light, then it's full. It's full in light. So with full of knowledge of me to the capacity that we can, without desires for profit. Now, we do have a desire for profit, actually. We want devotional service. And that's the greatest profit that we can get. Unfortunately, we're all mixed up. I think I told the joke that Brahmatirtha told me about the Jewish devotee who was going to the synagogue and he was praying and praying to God, please, please let me win the lottery. And he was going back, you know, day after day, week after week, oh Lord, please let me win the lottery. So after about 4 or 5 months of praying like this to the Lord for profit, when one day when there was nobody in the synagogue and it was just this devotee and the Lord was praying, please let me win the lottery, a voice came booming from the altar, Joshua, at least buy a ticket. So we have to at least, you know, do a little for Krishna. You'll get your profit, don't worry. Krishna says, Kaunteya Pati Janihi Name Bhakta Pranashati. My devotee will not be vanquished. Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Yejana Paryupasate. One who serves me, who worships me. Tesham Nitya Vyuktanam. Nitya Vyuktana, who's constantly engaged in my service. Yoga Kshema Vahamyam. I'll carry what he lacks, and I'll protect what he has. You get your profit, but don't pray to God for profit. It's not necessary. Pray to God for knowledge of him. Pray to God for association. Pray to God for eternal life full of bliss and knowledge. Pray to God for the one thing that's the most expensive thing. He hardly ever awards, and that's pure devotional service. Anyavilasita shunyam jnana karmani anavritam. This is uttam bhakti. We had uttam bhakti here, but his bhakti wasn't so uttam. Now he's in the restaurant somewhere. Anyway, we want uttam bhakti, and that uttam bhakti comes when you just, to the best of your ability, you surrender to Krishna without any desire for karma or jnana or fruit of results of any kind, and with no claim to proprietorship. This is the demoniac mentality that I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, I am the proprietor. Ishwaro ham aham bhogi siddham balavan sukhi. This is demoniac. And it's foolish also. Demons are fools. They can't keep anything. No matter what they get by their demoniac plan making, by their exploitation, it's all taken away at the time of death. When the final vote count is there, you have to concede. I heard he conceded. Huh? Anybody know? Nobody knows. That's good, you're intelligent people. I don't know either. So less important. Out with the lion and in with the tiger. What does it matter? So, but finally, we have to give up this sense that I'm the doer, I'm the owner. We are simply servants of Krishna. This is a hard lesson to learn, but Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Das Das Anu Das. Lord Chaitanya, best devotee you can even conceive. Mahabhava, the highest stage of devotional ecstasy, only exhibited by Lord Chaitanya and Radharani. Mahabhava, the symptoms of ecstasy, the surrender, the devotion, the love. We cannot conceive of such love. I mean, this Hollywood cinema love is so corny. It's so yuck in comparison to, you know, great devotees' love for Krishna, what they go through in ecstasy and pain and bliss. Exhibited by their constant, it pains them to. The gopis, they were trying to forget Krishna because he hadn't come back to Vrindavan as he promised he would. He went to Mathura, well, actually Purva took him to Mathura, and of course he told the gopis that he would never leave them, and here they found him to be gone, and, you know, they were thinking about him in Mathura with all the society ladies there, and in Dwarka with all his queens, and they just became totally frustrated, and they began criticizing him. But every time they tried to forget him, to criticize him, they just remembered him more, and it made them cry even more and exhibit more ecstatic symptoms. And the most exalted of all the gopis is Srimati Radharani. And all the gopis, they know that. Therefore, they commiserate with her about their pain and suffering in separation from Krishna, and yet the ecstasy when they remember him. They start talking to trees and to bumblebees, and it's amazing. Some of the most beautiful literature written is Gopi's lamentation in separation from Krishna. It's so exquisite, beautiful, divine poetry, a lover's poetry. So, this, you know, really perverted reflection, which we're accustomed to, is so inferior and not even worth, you know, the biggest selling books in the market are these books, which most of them are bought by women, but these books of, you know, like Gone with the Wind type of books, you know, what do they call them, huh? Romance novels, okay. They're so huge. You know, any Tom, Dick, or Harry can write a romance novel. All I'm going to have is, you know, some plot with sex life in it and, you know, relieving someone's anxieties through. Anyway. So, we have to give up the sense that we're the controller and we're the enjoyer. Krishna owns everything. We are just his servants, menial servants. And again, remember that if you hear this and you try to practice it in your life, we can't think of a servant. Usually you think as a servant is docile and exploited and cheated. And usually that's the way it is in the material world. Nobody wants to be the servant. Everyone wants to be the master. But a servant in the house of the king, it's not bad. You get to wear the same clothes as the king, you eat the same food. I mean, it's an opulence, it's a royal position, you have no difficulties. And on the transcendental plane, even though situated in the body, but one who is in transcendental consciousness, dhyatma-chetasa, that person can experience servitorship as the highest ecstasy. So peaceful, just like a child. A child is basically totally dependent upon his parents. And a child really doesn't worry about the economy so much. He doesn't worry about, you know, he knows mommy and daddy will take care and supply food on the table. He knows that the house will be there, more or less. He just doesn't get into anxiety. He's fully dependent. Same way a dog. A dog without a master is just a street dog, and they're miserable. But a dog with a master has a little house, and you know, maybe nowadays in Hollywood, you know, you've got an air-conditioned house, and, you know, it's got a stereo player by Bose, has his own burial ground where his ancestors were buried, in his tomb. I can't believe it. But if you just, you know, it's so hard, you can't teach something exactly that's a realization that you're growing deeper and deeper. So it's just something that we're all going to have to make an effort to understand and let it grow. We're servants. This is our dog collar. We're Prabhupada's dogs, and we're real happy that we have such a nice master, and we wouldn't change it a bit. And now there are two sides. One can be that you are egoistic, even in devotional service, or just in general. There are two sides, egoism and lethargy. One, egoism is that I'm the doer. All right, I'll give up the concept that I'm the doer, that Krishna's the doer. Okay, let him do. I'm just going to sit here. Come on, Krishna, do it. Come on, Krishna, sit here to do it. No, you have to act. You have to practice devotional service. And if someone doesn't come to you and say, look, here's your this and here's your that, and you come and I'll take care of you here, and here's your prasadam. If you don't get that kind of treatment 24 hours a day, I remember when I was a new bhakt, it was real easy. You know, you just had to do your service. There was the temple commander, and then there was Sankirtan, and the van was there, and you just got in the van, they dropped you to your street corner, and, you know, jingle bells, and, you know. I see these Salvation Army people out there doing their Santa Claus routine. Well, there were days when... anyway. If someone doesn't make all arrangements for it, you should demand, I want to serve Radha Govinda. And please give me some service. I will come regularly every day for whatever it is, 15 minutes. But somehow, 15 minutes is hard. But if you come for an hour or 2 hours or whatever you can, and do a little service every day to the deity. Do it at home and bring it to the temple. Do something. Find some way that you can fit into your schedule devotional service to Krishna. Be free from lethargy. I know, I was reading the other year, not the other day, the other year,
about yuppies and their charity habits. They all want to feel like they're doing something, like they're, you know, they're earning $200,000. Those days they were earning a couple of $100,000 a year. And they had their condos and their E-Jags and, you know, whatever, their Porsches. And, but they just, something was missing. They wanted to have a feeling that they were benefiting the world on top of everything else. And so there was an organization that started charity. New York Cares, or America Cares. Yeah, big charity. And what they did was they find out these guys, you know, these yuppies, guys and gals, they had no time, but, you know, they could find out half an hour at lunch or an hour at lunch or something. So this charity would find organizations where these people could come and serve food to whatever, a blind school to the children, or they could do some kind of charity after work between the time that they got off to the time they had to go home, you know, an hour here, an hour. So you have to find time to do. That's what it means to be free from lethargy. If it's important to you, then you have to make the time and don't let any situation. The institution goes through ups and downs for whatever reason. But as individuals, at the time of death, bhajan karo, sadhan karo. Do your bhajan, you do your sadhana, or you don't do it. But everything is ante narayana smriti. Everything is tested. The time of death. It's axiomatic. Either you think of Krishna, and you get a spiritual body, go back to the spiritual world, you enter into the world of light, you come out from darkness, or you stay in darkness and you just revolve on the wheel. You just take another birth, and you don't know how you will die. You may die in front of the television set watching, you know, some pigs or something. I don't know, you know, become a pig in your next life. You just don't know. I mean, it's that uncertain. You have no idea, because we have, if we don't engage in devotional service, nasti buddhira ayutasya, we won't come to the transcendental platform. Oh, we may flirt with different kinds of philosophy. That's okay. We may play around and titillate our brains. Oh, I'm reading Buddhism today. Oh, I'm just, you know, the Sufis, they're really groovy. But what are you doing? What are you actually doing? Here's a practical process that you can do, and you better do, so that you can come to that transcendental platform. Nachayatasya bhavana, nachavavayata shantira shantasa kutasukam. Unless you come to the transcendental platform, you won't have a steady mind, steady intelligence, and then you can't think of Krishna. If your mind is disturbed, I agree, hey, New York is a great place to get a disturbed mind. It doesn't take much effort at all. But the way to be like a lamp in a windless place, the way to be like a beautiful lotus flower in a pond, is to practice devotional service. That's the beginning. With the senses. All the senses engage, mayi sarvani karma. So you have to do something and make it happen in your own life. And this is the thing. Being dependent on others is dangerous. Being dependent because other people have weaknesses. And if you're fully dependent on others, then you're dependent on their weaknesses also. And
being independent is impractical. You can change. You're fed up. Many people who are just dependent, they're generally known as wimps. And wimpies, too, because they probably don't worry about their eating habits. But the other side, being independent, is impractical. It's where you have to go from being dependent on others. You do have to be independent-minded. But then, in order to engage in devotional service, with your independence, you become interdependent with other independent thinking persons, and you practice devotional service in an interdependent way, and then you get a great result. And we all benefit. So this is the month of book distribution. Of course, every month, every day is a day of book distribution, but it's a good time to distribute books. Now, I distributed 3 books, 3 Bhagavad Gita's this week. I still have to pay for them, but distribute them to good people. And you all can do that. Distribute Bhagavad Gita's to your friends. Do some service. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship and free from lethargy, fight. Okay, fight means do your duty within the... Well, of course, there is no Varnashram Dharma, but you can understand by consulting friends, etc. I remember when I was in college, English major. Lady Chatterley's Lover. Did you ever have to read that book? Well, they got this guy who's a British noble or something, but he actually likes to be out in the garden clipping roses because he's got a green thumb. And, we have our nature. We have our nature, and it's always good. You're happier when you're working, doing something that's your nature to do. But even if you can't find that exact thing, but do your duty, do your service, use the fruits of your work for maintaining yourself and also for devotional service. And of course, these are the qualifications here. Are there any questions or comments? All right.